Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you in studio once again as we continue looking at power of attorney and how it affects the trust. We're going to kind of do some review work this show on what is a trust, and that's what you specialize in. You believe in having a living trust, as they say, for people's estate planning, and this is so important. Maybe people have a little bit more time on their hands with the social distancing and the sheltering in place, and this is something people really need. You said like 50% of people don't even have a will.
Yeah, that's right.
How many people don't have a trust? Probably even more.
Yeah, right. And really what I think that stat is trying to communicate is more than 50%. And by the way, that's if you're 65. Mm. So if you reach the age of 65, half of those individuals still have not done any estate planning.
Wow.
And the stat is 40% if you are under 65 that you have not done estate planning. So it increases when you get to 65. It's like this switch comes on that, oh, I'm retiring. Maybe I'm feeling some more aches and pains, and so I should probably get this done. That's probably one of the biggest times when somebody actually does think about doing their estate plan is when they're hitting retirement. But of course, that age is starting to move up. And so this is something people need to think about. As a matter of fact, estate planning is not just about dying. Estate planning is about having the appropriate mechanisms, the legal documents in place to ensure that if you ever experience an incapacitation or disability during your lifetime, that you are well protected and that the right people have the authority to speak over your finances, over your health decisions, over your end of life decision. So estate planning isn't about how much money you have. That's a huge misnomer. It is not about how much money you have. It is about protecting you during your lifetime. Then, when you die, how do we maneuver things? But I think because we talk about estate planning as a general term, people think, oh, that's when you die. And they miss out on the opportunity that says, no, this is about you living and ensuring your safety during your lifetime. So that's why everyone needs to do estate planning. Now, there's two main tools that an estate planner can use. One is a will, and the other one is a trust. And when we use one of those disposition documents, then what follows afterwards is that everyone needs a financial power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney, in my opinion, a mental health power of attorney, access to medical records. We need an end of life document, also known as a living will. That kind of gets confused with a living trust, but they're very, very different documents. And then also anatomical gift and designations and things of this nature, community property document if you are married. So all of these different documents are critical in designing a full estate plan. So notice how most of those documents are the ones utilized when you're alive versus the fewer of them are utilized when you actually die. And so I want to spend a little bit of time then today on talking about really what does a trust do and what is a trust. So because it's one of the two tools that we can use in estate planning. Again, we can use a will or we can use a trust. So I want to talk a little bit about the basics of a trust. So a trust is a document that is designed so that it includes instructions of how am I to be taken care of during my lifetime, which may include a disability or incapacitation, and then what do you do with my assets after I die? And so in a trust, we need to have all of your assets put into it so that all of your assets are titled in the name of the trust. So if I have a grant trust, then all of my assets, my home, my bank accounts, my investment accounts, life insurance policies, everything but my retirement accounts, because we have to have those outside of the trust in order to continue the tax deferral status of an IRA or 401k or 403b or whatever type of retirement account you have. But everything else should be in the name of the trust. That way the instructions of the trust attach to that asset. And so on a high level, basic discussion of a trust is a holding container so that it holds all of your financial accounts and it gives instructions on what to do with the financial accounts during your lifetime and then what happens after you have died.
Well, what type of trusts are there then? There are several kinds of trusts.
Yeah, there are. And so one of the most common that is used is a revocable living trust. So revocable means you have full power and control over it. You can change it. You can amend it. You can even say, I don't want it anymore. And you can put it through the shredder and put all of your assets back in your name. So the revocable part, the revocability of that term.
That's the most common too.
Yes. Revocable living trust is while I'm alive and healthy. In other words, I can make decisions for myself. I can have full power and control over everything that I've done, including the instructions therein. So the living part then is that that trust should include instructions on how do we care for you during your lifetime, which includes a time when you may not be able to manage your own assets because of an incapacitation or disability. So that's the living part. And the trust part is the container. It's the this is what happens during all the different stages of my life. It really is addressing the after death issues. So that is most common because there we can design a lot of tax saving issues within a revocable living trust. We can take care of spouses. We can take care of children. And again, they are a great tool when properly designed to ensure that you are well taken care of as the trust maker. Okay. So that's a revocable living trust. Now we also have a lot of different types of irrevocable trusts. And this is one of the more common questions I get when we talk about trusts. Well, what's a revocable trust versus an irrevocable trust? So an irrevocable trust is a trust that you've designed and you lose the ability to make the changes or have power and control over that trust any longer.
Now, why would somebody want one like that?
Yeah, great question. So it is typically for one extreme or the other. And here are the two extremes. Number one is I don't have many assets and I want to protect those against a state or government entity being having access to them so that I can qualify for Medicaid. So in other words, it's almost like using a special needs trust. I'm going to put my money over here and it's going to supplement everything that I receive if I end up in a long-term healthcare issue. And so many times it is a Medicaid planning tool or it removes your house out of your estate so that it is protected against the government being able to attach medical bills should you need state assistance down the road. So that's one extreme.
Now, I thought, though, that you can't shelter a house. If you're heading toward Medicaid, there's all these stories of, well, give your house to your kids or whatever, and all of those things are discouraged and illegal.
Well, they're not illegal. But what we have is called a 5-year look-back rule. So right. If we have done any of these asset transfer mechanisms within the 5 years that we need assistance, then the Medicaid rules say, well, we're going to count that asset as if you still have it. So we don't care that you gave it away. We're going to look at it and we're going to say that still is a part of your asset base. And so therefore, we're going to treat how much money you have as if you still have the asset. Then there's a very tricky mathematical formula of how long that would disqualify you from Medicaid. So it's not illegal. It's absolutely not illegal. It is done, but it needs to be designed in advance of any type of illness, and it needs to be done in with a lot of forethought of whether it's really the best system for the person involved. Now, there's other mechanisms that you can use, such as long-term care insurance. Now, people don't like to talk about insurance, I know, but it is a formidable way to buffer your estate financially to ensure that money will come in tax-free when you need it if you meet the qualifications of receiving the benefit of your long-term care policy. Now, some of the rub against long-term care policies is that they are more expensive. So if you don't have the financial ability, or if you don't have the health qualifications in order to bind a policy, then that's not an option for you. So if that's not an option, then many people would have the value to say, I want to protect the assets I have to ensure that I can utilize them during my lifetime and I just won't be a ward of the state. So it's either a full ward of the estate and I have no money, or it's a, I can utilize the assistance that the state offers and still have some other assets that may assist me. But those are very, very tricky issues. So we were talking about an irrevocable trust. Why would people give their assets away permanently? One is to start the 5-year look back rule. So that's when we don't have much money. Now, the second one is if we have sufficient money and we have a tax consideration in Washington state, which is anyone can die in Washington with $2.2 million. Now, it's a tick under that. It's $2,193,000, but $2.2 million for general discussions. If you have that type of an asset, then you will be dinged with an estate tax when you die. And so we start utilizing trusts specifically in married situations to start mitigating those tax concerns. But we can only mitigate it so far with a revocable living trust. So now an irrevocable trust may begin to mitigate tax liabilities further. So we can save money instead of paying Washington state an estate tax. We would want more assets to be given to kids or to charities or to other people we care about instead of the taxing entity. So I don't know about anyone else out there, but do you want to keep paying Washington state more taxes after you've already paid your taxes on a federal and state level? Most people would say no. So as we enter into break, I'm going to leave you with this thought. An estate tax is paid for those who don't do estate planning. People who don't do estate planning and have not done estate planning well will pay an estate tax. There's absolutely no reason to pay an estate tax. There are ways that we can fully mitigate the tax with legal ways to make sure that others are able to utilize what God has put into your care. And so therefore, unless you really like the U.S. government or the Washington state government, we can mitigate that through an irrevocable trust. So those are the two extremes of why most people would use an irrevocable trust, give their money away permanently.
Okay, very interesting Legacy and Faith show this week with Paul Grant. And Paul, you have an upcoming workshop. I think you'll be touching on some of these things as well. It's
a
webinar, as they say, online workshop. When is that happening?
So that is going to be Tuesday, June 2nd. It's online. You can sign up at our website. So you can go to legacyandfaith.com. There's an opportunity to sign up for this web-based seminar. And it's coming up Tuesday, June 2nd. So head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's more information, ways to communicate with us. And please sign up for this very important workshop on estate planning in general.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Hi, this is Paul Grant from the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to remind you that we have a workshop coming up, The Truth About Estate Planning, A Biblical Perspective. That's coming up on Tuesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. You can head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com, and get more information and sign up. Again, that's legacyandfaith.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Well, with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, looking at trusts, kind of some basic information about trusts. We looked at two kinds of trusts, the revocable and irrevocable. Are there any other ones, Paul?
No, those are primarily the two type of trust. Now, yeah, there's a bunch of different trusts, but they're really for tax tricks and other things that we try to assist people to mitigate that tax issue. And actually, we were even talking during break, what happens if somebody doesn't have $2 million? What if they're in this middle $1 million range and they're not exposed to a tax burden, and they probably have sufficient assets to care for themselves if a medical emergency happens? Well, that kind of goes back to the revocable living trust. We need to do really good estate planning to make sure that the finances you have are being utilized in a way that align with your values and are utilized for your benefit in the way that you want, to ensure that what you've been given actually does last through the period of incapacitation or disability. So remember, revocable living trust is kind of the bread and butter that estate planners use. And irrevocable trusts are for the, what I call the extremes. I don't have very much, so I need help protecting what little I have in case of a catastrophic health emergency. Or oftentimes I'm in a health emergency, so I need help. Or B, I have been blessed with a lot, and so how am I the best steward over what's been given to me so I don't pay unnecessary taxes?
The irrevocable trust then, so you're putting something, like you say, you mentioned often that the house would go in that. So irrevocable means forever?
Yes. No,
it can never be changed?
Yeah.
You've just gotten rid of your house? It's in this trust now that no one can ever... Including you.
Well, you give yourself a life estate, so you're able to use it. But yes, the proceeds, if you sell it, then go to someone else. You cannot have the proceeds come back to you. Otherwise, it's a countable asset, and we've destroyed the why we set up the trust as a beginning premise. Other people, we may want to put life insurance policies into an irrevocable trust. It's an asset that we're probably not going to use. There's probably cash value in there on permanent policies, but oftentimes, if we have more than what the taxing government allows us to have, then we probably have assets sufficient to take care of ourselves. We won't need to pull on the cash value in a permanent policy. So oftentimes, we take that policy and we move it into an irrevocable trust because it's something that we can do without now, but we still want the death benefit if I were to die. So now it's out of my estate and we've done something different. We've taken an asset that we're not going to be needing or will be critical to our financial success, but we still want the benefit thereof. So there's many different types of things that we may be able to do with an irrevocable trust to mitigate the taxing authorities that are perfectly legal and happen all the time. Here's the whole point. What do you need? I don't know until we talk to you. That's why we do workshops, is so that we can educate you in a full session. They're 90-minute sessions. We have one coming up on Tuesday, June 2nd. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. Click on the button to register. It's fully done by video, specifically right now in our time. We're not doing in-person meetings yet. So we're going to do it by video. And the whole starting point is that we need good education so that we understand what we need. And then we can have a private discussion of, now that we have a good foundation of education, this is what you personally need for your family to protect them. So the whole point of revocable, irrevocable, this can be extraordinarily confusing. And there's so many different things to be talked about in each one of these sections. The whole discussion then comes back to, well, what should I do? And I don't know until we have the opportunity to sit down and discuss it. So it starts in my system with these workshops. It's a working environment. It's a put on your best thinking environment. So therefore, sign up for our June 2nd on a Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. After work, after everything is calmed down, so that we can take a moment, think about estate planning, and we can get to the right conclusion for you personally, versus just a radio show that gives out, you know, kind of overarching information, really not designed for you to take and utilize in your daily life.
Okay. Well, tell us quickly a little bit more of how trusts work.
Yeah.
Different points here.
Sure. So a trust on a basic level, to make a trust legal, we need to have the document. There needs to be a something in writing that demonstrates we wanted this trust. Number two, we have to appoint a trustee, someone who is going to manage what we put in the trust. Because remember, you have to take a trust and something has to be put into the trust. That's number three, is that we have to add assets to the trust. There has to be something that is managed by the trust. So what we have is we have a holding container. We need to have someone who manages what is put into the trust, and we have to have something that is put into the trust to manage. They have to work together. Then we have to give guidelines and sometimes even very strict rules, pending the circumstance, on how those assets are to be managed, distributed, and utilized for the interest of the person that this trust is even being put together for. Mm-hmm. So as a general foundation, those are the qualifications that every trust in Washington need to meet. We need to have some sort of a intent that a trust exists. We need to have someone who manages it. We need to have someone who manages property. So we need property, and we need to know who are the beneficiaries and what are the guidelines around how to use the finances for a beneficiary. So those are some of the bare bone basics that we need to have in a trust. We need to have a revocable living trust. For most individuals, that's the starting gate. And then we need to determine if indeed an irrevocable trust is appropriate for you, depending on your personal needs. So again, head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's a June 2nd on Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., workshop coming up, and would love to have you participate. As a matter of fact, it's The Truth About Estate Planning is the title of it, A Biblical Perspective. So we actually get into biblical foundations for why we do estate planning. What's the biblical premise for what we should be considering as believers? So the workshop just isn't a legal workshop. It's really designed to be a legal and a biblical foundation of why do we do estate planning.
Okay, good information. And you wanted to wrap up today's show with some encouragement in these difficult times.
Yeah, and so kind of even moving from that that biblical basis that I was looking at this week, 1 Corinthians 10, and specifically verse 13. And I would say that many Christians I've talked to think that this has been a trying time over the past month or more, that the coronavirus has hit. We've been on lockdown. we've had stay-at-home orders. Many of us have had to work from home. Kids have been at home. And we would consider this a very trying time. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there's no temptation that has overtaken you but what is common to man. So the first couple things is that word temptation means that it is an adversity or a test. And so we look at the word temptation as something that is coming against us, that's trying to pull us away from the focus and the beauty of being remaining on God's principles. So we need to understand that's a test. But the scripture goes on and it says, but God is faithful. So number one, we need to know that God is not testing our faith. This test does not come from God, because this sentence is fully incompatible that it says that a temptation which is common, if we thought that that came from God, then how does the author then come in and say, but God is faithful? So they're incompatible. God is not tempting your faith. He is not testing your faith. It is a test of the world and from the enemy to pull you away and begin to think in lines of the world. And God is faithful to stand with you. So God, but in the temptation, will also make a way of escape. So when God stands with us, he will give us insight. He will give us wisdom to say, this is how you get out from underneath this temptation. So if this has been a trying time for you, then my encouragement is that you focus in on the way of God and you listen to his voice, because he has made a way of escape, because he is with you and will show you that way of escape. So remember, this trying time is a way of the world, and God has made a way of escape. Lean into him, for he is good in all his ways, and he wants to sustain you. So thank you for listening to another show of the Legacy and Faith Show. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's a seminar coming up on Tuesday, June 2nd. Sign up for that, and I look forward to being able to come back together on the Legacy and Faith Show next week.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.